This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Earlier this year, Governor J.B. Pritzker and the Illinois Department of Human Services announced the Choate Mental Health and Developmental Center would be repurposed. This came after years of allegations of abuse at the facility in Anna in southern Illinois. The roughly 120 residents of Choate would be relocated, some to community-based settings, some to other developmental centers in other parts of the state. The allegations about Choate were brought to public attention by reporting from ProPublica, the Southern Illinois newspaper, and the nonprofit Capital News Illinois. Now, the reporters behind the previous stories have shown that the problems at Choate are also present at other Illinois facilities. Joining us once again to talk more about this are the reporters behind those revelations, Molly Parker and Beth Hunsdorfer. They're both now with Capital News Illinois. Molly recently moved there from Lee Enterprises and the Southern. Molly, welcome back to the 21st Show. Congrats on the new job.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Also, Beth, welcome back to you as well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Brian.
And joining us once again to talk more about this is Stacey Ashman, who's vice president at Equip for Equality, which is an organization that advocates for the advancement of civil rights for people with disabilities. Stacey, welcome back to you as well.
Thanks for having me again.
800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation today. And let's get right into it. So Molly, your first story on the situation at Choate came, I think, last fall. Then there was this conversation about repurposing earlier this year. Where are we now in this so-called repurposing phase for Choate?
The state announced in March that they were going to shake things up at Choate, and that included moving about half the residents out of the facility, roughly 120 people, from, you know, that facility has a psychiatric hospital and also a forensic unit, but they're talking about moving people with developmental disabilities that are there basically voluntarily. I say that either they or their guardians have placed them there to receive care. And so they're talking about moving those folks out into the community. I think the last count we had was about 10 people have been moved so far, but I mean, you have to keep in mind people are always coming in and out of facilities. So it's hard to say exactly how much of that accounts for this shift, but we do know that people are starting to move. They're giving them about 3 years, and they'll go into, you know, community placements or into other state-run developmental centers across the state, but still really early in that repurposing.
Yeah, and I know we talked about this on the show previously, when closer to when it was announced, but why repurpose and not just close the facility altogether? What have you heard about that?
Well, what we've heard from the state, and I can only speak, these are their decisions, of course,
sure,
not ours, is that,
right,
you know, they want to be able to keep the facility open. They see a need for it. Like I said, there is a psychiatric hospital there. There's some other psychiatric hospitals in the state, and people go there for treatment. They may be committed civilly because they're at, you know, risk of danger to themselves or others, or they may be coming in through the courts where they've been accused of a crime. And found either unfit to stand trial or not guilty by reason of insanity and need that treatment. So there's different things going on at that campus, and I think they're trying to figure out in the long view of, you know, are there services that are needed that can keep this facility operating for a different population? They've had the SIU School of Medicine in there looking at it as well, which I think has released a report looking at, you know, who can be best served here. And, you know, I think there's room for maybe conversation about that, but that is, you know, and you'll hear differences of opinion about that, but that is what the state is trying to do, is find a long-term purpose for the facility.
Stacey, I want to bring you into the conversation now. So as an advocate for civil rights of people with disabilities, what do you think in a general way about this repurposing, this idea of moving people into more community-based settings? I mean, this is something we've been hearing about for a long time now. I mean, decades, right?
Yes, absolutely a long time, and even dating back to like 2015, which is not so long ago. It goes further back than that. The Seventh Circuit mentioned that Illinois is actually a laggard outlier in terms of expanding community services for people with disabilities in Illinois. And as the governor mentioned in his, I believe it was March 8th announcement, that part of the goal was to make more community services available to people who wanted them, because it is evidence-based as best practices. I mean, really, when you think about it, who do we know among our neighbors and families that say they want to live in a nursing home? You know, why should people with developmental disabilities be treated differently?
Beth Hunsdorfer, I want to bring you into the conversation now. So the reason we're talking about this now, when we've already talked about it twice on the show in the past year or so, is that you have a new report out that says that what's happening at Choate is also happening in other state facilities. Just tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I think you'll see that Choate's not necessarily an outlier in some of the abuses that are happening. All of these facilities are suffering from short manpower issues and short staffing. That means a lot more stress on the staff in a job that's not necessarily without its own stressors. It's a difficult job. The training may not be as much as needed to take care of. Now, to its credit, DHS has said they're expanding training, they're helping, you know, but they need people on the floor who are trained and have some sort of understanding and emotional patience to deal with some of the situations they're going to come up against when caring for people who have developmental disabilities.
Maybe you can just say, so what are some of these allegations? When we say the word abuse is such a broad-based term, what are we exactly talking about?
You know, there have been instances. There was an instance after the, just before the governor made his announcement in November, where a patient was found after bleeding from the ear, and he had been told people that he had been struck with a broom handle. There have been instances of severe neglect where patients have been given food that is not approved for them to eat, candy bar, and they choked on it. Things like that. I mean, these are the kinds of things that aren't necessarily, you know, as outward abuse as we saw earlier in our reporting, but they still exist.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We need to take a break on the program. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about this latest report and the ongoing work documenting conditions at Illinois' mental health and developmental centers. The headline in the ProPublica article is "Problems with Abuse, Neglect, and Cover-ups at Choate Extend to Other Developmental Centers in Illinois." 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation today. This is the 21st show. Stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking on the rest of the program today about a report that was jointly published by ProPublica, Lee Enterprises Midwest, which owns the Southern Illinoisan as well as other papers, and Capital News Illinois, the nonprofit newsroom. The headline is "Problems with Abuse, Neglect, and Cover-ups at Choate Extend to Other Developmental Centers in Illinois." Choate has been the subject of a number of allegations of abuse documented by some of the same reporters we're talking with today. The residents there were being gradually moved into community-based care settings, maybe some to other developmental centers in Illinois. But as we're seeing with this report, the problems at Choate are not unique to Choate. The reporters behind that are Molly Parker and Beth Hunsdorfer. They're both now with Capital News Illinois. And we're also talking about this with Stacey Ashman, vice president at Equip for Equality, which advocates for the advancement of civil rights for people with disabilities. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. 800-222-9455. Molly Parker, the Department of Human Services has said that the state has worked to identify the root causes of misconduct. From your reporting, what do you understand to be the root cause of misconduct in these facilities?
I think there's a vast array of problems that you see encountered when you look at the reports involving the situations. And certainly at the forefront, I think of them is at least one of the issues is staffing. That seems to be a critical issue that everyone agrees on, whether they, you know, generally think that we should move away from institutions or keep them open. You know, these are sort of two sides of a debate that people feel like the staffing is not adequate for what is there right now. And that's true in the community side of things too, where people live in smaller group homes. You know, there's a staffing struggle across the country, of course, but it seems particularly acute inside these facilities. And so you see people working really dangerous amounts of overtime, you know, and I think that that is certainly aggravating the situation. Or you'll see people who are, and this would be like in a health report where something happened, a tragic situation, maybe not an abuse case, but something where someone was harmed, and that you'll find that the employee was a trainee who was still supposed to be supervised. I've seen several of those cases, but they're just put on the floor. It's our understanding because, hey, we don't have anybody. So you're supposed to be working alongside an experienced person who understands the residents, you know, maybe their intervention plans or the foods they should be eating and their supervision level. And suddenly you're left by yourself in a situation you're not experienced to handle.
Molly, is this, I mean, these facilities, much like prisons throughout downstate Illinois, other big state facilities, institutions like this, are considered, you know, good jobs, sources of economic development. Do people still think of Choate that way in Anna and the surrounding areas?
Well, absolutely. And if you look at where these facilities are located, I did a little research as we were preparing the story, is that, you know, the roots of these institutions in Anna particularly, you know, dates back to the 1800s, but they're also fairly old, like in Centralia and some other in Kankakee, where they have a center like this. They were intentionally built in small towns. And part of that was the sort of concept of like, hey, we want people with developmental disabilities or mental illnesses in some cases to be out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. You know, it was sold at the time to parents. And I'm talking way back as, you know, oh, the country life will be better for you. But there's certainly a lot of critique on, you know, was that done intentionally? And over the years, the towns have grown very reliant on them. I mean, if you close the Choate Mental Health and Developmental Center, yes, there would be an economic loss. There would be a lot of devastation for people in terms of finding jobs. I think there are efforts for people to travel to other locations and, you know, other ways that they could be employed. But certainly a huge part of the debate about, you know, modernizing Illinois system does end up centering around what happens to the towns where these are located. And it's not just Anna. Again, you have Centralia, you have Dixon in the north, Kankakee. These are all really small, you know, pretty small rural towns across the state where these are one of the major employers, if not the biggest in the area.
Yeah. We've seen other manufacturing close up, coal mining declined, obviously. So just other types of jobs are not as available. And yet the problems with hiring remain. Beth, let me ask you, talking about more about the allegations of abuse, you say you reported that the state police has opened, 200 investigations into employee misconduct at developmental centers since 2012, most of them outside Choate. What are some of the findings there?
I mean, I think we saw it at Choate particularly, there were, 26 criminal charges that were filed. And that's a criminal charge. The agency also has its own watchdog, the Office of the Inspector General, that investigates allegations of abuse and neglect, who investigate for the agency for disciplinary purposes and remediation purposes. So I think, you know, the state police investigations are important in that somebody's held criminally accountable when they abuse a person who has developmental disabilities.
Stacy, what do you? I wonder, as you're listening to this and hearing about the problems that, you know, this is not limited to Choate. Are you at all surprised by that? What are you thinking?
No, you know, we're not surprised by that. We received the Office of Inspector General reports and the independent IBM, the Illinois Department of Public Health report. So we know that there are problems ongoing. That doesn't mean that Choate hasn't deserved the scrutiny it's gotten. There's been some really serious abuse that's come out of there, as well as neglect that, you know, both implicated, you know, people that were in jobs where they did not belong. Maybe they were there on purpose. Maybe they desired to exploit people. And also then the cover up is really a big problem. That doesn't mean, of course, the cover-ups aren't happening at other facilities as well. So, we were not surprised. And these have been some ongoing issues over the years that are not don't reflect well on the amount of money, especially the state is paying to provide care for these people.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point. So we've been talking about one of the problems here is a labor shortage, right? These facilities are understaffed. It's also a problem with some of the group homes, you know, which are these new ways of receiving care that the governor has talked about. And we had a previous segment on the show today, unrelated to this, but it was about organizing at the El Milagro Tortilla Factory in Chicago. And one of the people we were talking with made the point that she doesn't really believe in there's not really worker shortages. There's just an unwillingness to pay what it will take to get the workers that are needed. Stacey, what do you understand about, I mean, are people paid enough in this line of work? Should the state be looking at that as a solution to this problem? Where do we go?
So I think that's two part. I've always been led to believe that the state jobs are fairly well paid, especially for the areas in which the jobs are available. In terms of the jobs at the group homes, the state has been working on implementing something that's called the Guidehouse Study, which made some recommendations about increased wages for people working in that direct care and other support care systems in the community. And I know that those have been implemented to an extent, but there's more work to be done in that area.
So, Molly, the other institutions outside of CHO we've been talking about, the state is continuing to put money into these institutions. Can you just talk about the pattern of that, where that is headed overall, especially as Governor Pritzker has talked about these, again, new ways of receiving care?
The Pritzker administration has definitely talked the talk about the the best practices that Stacey is referencing, which is, you know, something you've seen some more progressive states on this issue take on in terms of offering community care to people in a really robust way that may have more challenging situations, you know, need more intensive mental health care or behavioral health supports or even physical care than you see in Illinois. And it really seems like Illinois sort of got a dual system going on. They've really been committed to the institution since the Quinn administration. You know, the Quinn administration attempted some shutdowns and did close a large developmental center in Jacksonville outside of Springfield. They tried to close Murray next. The folks at Murray, the parents as well as the community and the union fought back against that. And then, you know, we haven't really seen anything since then. In that way, Governor Rotter committed to keeping them all open, but then, you know, the budget crisis really gutted the system across in the community and facilities. I think you saw a lot of damage there. So again, the Pritzker administration has talked about wanting to do all these things, reinvest in the community, recognize the civil rights issue to providing an expanding choice, meaningful choice for people. So you're not choosing between an institution and a crappy group home. Like, that's not a good choice, right? You need to have some place that would really be able to be meaningful and supportive for your loved one. And I think they're doing some of that, but I don't think they're willing or at least haven't expressed that they're going to take on this big issue of a real restructuring that a lot of folks in the advocacy community would like to see. So, of course, it's early in the second administration. Who knows? But I just haven't heard that kind of broad shakeup coming down more. I don't want to say tinkering at the edges, like it's not, you know, they're certainly doing some meaningful things, but I don't know if they're going to take this on as a key, you know, issue for the remaining term.
Stacey Ashman with Equip for Equality, where do you see Illinois heading 10, 15, 20 years down the line? Maybe it's an idealized vision in your view, or maybe you're worried about the worst. But what scenarios do you see in the years ahead?
Yeah, I choose to be hopeful that the state will continue to expand services, not just for the people that, you know, are currently able to be supported well in the community, but also to expand some programs that have shown some progress. Short-term stabilization homes that are in the community for people who are living at home or already in a group home who are struggling. there are very limited beds, and I understand that there's intention and work going into expanding the number of beds available so people don't end up in a state facility when they just need some short-term stabilization in the community. Also, there's talk, I think even legislation, to create short-term and long-term stabilization homes for people who are in state-operated developmental centers that want to move to the community but have had difficulty either finding a provider that was willing to accept them or that have had some struggles in the community before. So there's a desire to make sure that they can succeed so they don't have a return to the setting that they were trying to move from in the first place. I'm hopeful that things will continue to improve, but there is a lot of work to be done.
And Beth Hunsdorfer, we're almost out of time, but so this is probably our last question. What are you going to be watching for next in your reporting on this?
I think this is like a very critical time for people who live at SHOTE who are making the transitions. And I think it's real important that we make sure that the supports are kept under them to make these transitions be successful. Moving anywhere, especially if someone's lived in a place like SHOTE for decades, and there are people who have lived there for decades, if you're going to move them, that's a stressful situation, and there has to be lots of support and a gradual transition into wherever they're going to be. I think I had talked to a couple of families and they would have gladly kept their loved ones at home if they had the proper supports to do that. Behavioral interventions, access to workshops, psychiatric care in the community. I think there are alternatives and places where you can put resources that would allow people to, one, move into group homes or move back with their families.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Beth Hunsdorfer and Molly Parker are reporters with Capital News Illinois. Their most recent piece was published by Capital News Illinois, Lee Enterprises, Midwest, and ProPublica. It's called Problems with Abuse, Neglect, and Cover-Ups at SHOTE Extend to Other Developmental Centers in Illinois. We've also been speaking with Stacey Ashman, who is vice president at the civil rights organization Equip for Equality. Beth, Molly, Stacey, thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st Show. And that is all the time we have for our program. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Our intern is Nick Boyven. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. We love hearing what you thought about our program, so do please keep in touch. Talk@21stshow.org is the address. Talk@21stshow.org. That's also our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can find links to listen to past segments, share them with a friend, or subscribe to our podcast. You can also look us up on Apple or Spotify. Just search for The 21st. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.